In April, a documentary came out with a focus on the medical device industry. Now, this is an industry that is one of the fastest growing industries in America, but is also one of the least discussed specific industries in America. The documentary takes a look at whether the industry is growing too fast or whether or not the industry is serving the best interest of the people. And these are both interesting things to think about when you consider the vast amounts of medical devices available, everything from pacemakers to birth control inserts. But while the documentary is focused on medical devices, we will do what we do here on the Lessons from the Screen show and talk about whether or not this documentary is worth its nearly 2-hour runtime.
Lessons from the Screen, what we mean is we go through different documentaries to tell you what they gon' do. Give you our lessons, give them our blessings. If they trash, we tell you there is no second guessing. Knowledge is power, but time is precious. And we're here to keep you from them lessons. So sit back as we groove, giving you the review, so you only spend time on the docs that you need to.
Welcome back to another episode of Lessons from the Screen, the show where we give you a review of, you know the deal, you know what it is. I shouldn't have to repeat that at the intro of every show, but I do. We waste our time, our energy, and our brain power so that you don't have to. Excuse me, got a little tongue tied there. Lessons from the Screen. Oh, you're welcome. Lessons from the Screen is sponsored by PACS Inc., a Black activist advocacy and think tank with the purpose of increasing the quality of life for Black people in America through education, a culture shift, and economics. You can check them out at www.pactsinc.org. That's PACSinc.org. Leave a review, leave a comment, check out the Learning Center, check out a book, leave a donation, become a member, tell a friend to tell a friend, take a survey, volunteer. There are many different ways that you can get involved. Do what you can to help them because they are doing what they can to help you. And without further ado, we're going to get right into it like we always do. So this documentary, like most documentaries nowadays, it was heavily one-sided. Nearly everyone in the documentary is talking about the negative aspects of the medical device sector. With that, the documentary essentially covers a few medical devices, with E-Sure being the major and reoccurring device of the film. Now, E-Sure is a sterilization insert that is implanted into the fallopian tube, one for each tube, and it causes an inflammation response which causes swelling of this tube leading to scarring and sterilization by closing the fallopian tubes with scar tissue. Now, according to the documentary, not only are the women still experiencing pregnancies, but those pregnancies are often riddled with complications and potential fetal deaths, obviously. In addition to pregnancy complications, which is something that a pregnancy prevention tool should not have, there are also physical and mental issues caused by the tool itself. And this is essentially the idea of the documentary, the mental and physical complications caused by harmful medical implants. You know, they go through different devices and they talk about how these devices cause some sort of mental problem, be it with the joints and the cobalt getting into the blood and increasing cobalt levels into the blood, causing mental breakdowns and all kinds of other issues, or you know, whether it's in addition to the physical problems that you're going to have when a joint tears itself apart in your body, the robotic issues where people that were having certain products, certain services, certain surgeries done with them with the Da Vinci machine would go home and women would find that their guts, their innards, and some, their intestines, their colons would fall out of their vaginas and in some cases hang nearly at their knees. And so you had all of these things coming forward, the mental and the physical aspects of these devices when they go bad. And it spoke to meshes, robotics, joint replacements, and fertility devices. So all of these things were touched on, and it is important to mention that in some of these cases, these devices not only cause physical harm and mental stress, but a total shift in personality. Now, at that point, the documentary kind of shifts and switches gears at about the halfway moment. And it starts talking about the FDA and focusing on the failure of the FDA to protect consumers from the medical device explosion, and in some cases helping the explosion to continue with the systems that it creates. The pre-market approval process, the 510K loophole, both of those things are mentioned in this regard. And the fact that the industry is allowed to self-report is also spoken to in light of the FDA not having the data or the manpower to complete their mission. Now, the documentary did give a nice and brief history lesson of the medical device industry and the medical device regulation and incorporation into the FDA's scope of things to deal with. So it was, in my opinion, a total documentary. It was a decent documentary, even though it was heavily one-sided. Now, the documentary actually does open the door to several conversations that should be had in the community. And one of the most powerful scenes in the film is also one of the briefest. It occurs when a Latino woman goes into the hospital for bleeding after her Esure installation, only to be told that the reason she was bleeding so much during her periods was because she was Latina, as if she wouldn't recognize increased blood flow in her period after more than 30 years of being Latina and four children of being a Latina with a period. But that speaks to the discussion that is currently being had, but not nearly with enough depth. The conversation regarding implicit racial biases and assumptions in the medical care or the healthcare field. Now, these are conversations that need to be had, but we also need to accept that conversations alone aren't going to change things, because these are socially ingrained beliefs. In order to repair the damage that they cause, we need people in hospitals that come from the communities they're servicing. In the same way that we talk about cops, we need to be talking about healthcare professionals and the training that they receive, and all of that needs to be accounted for. The skin deep argument has been disproven so many times over, and the cultural differences cannot and should not be ignored. And I hear stories all the time from Black women talking about how doctors feel like Black people have a higher pain threshold, which is a direct holdover from our racial history and the effects and it affects the type of pain management treatments available to us. But this is also the belief that Black people are overly dramatic. So even if you do express pain, it's not as serious as you are making it out to be. And this is something that I had to deal with, my wife had to deal with regards to having oral surgery and not getting her pain meds adjusted to account for having more pain than they believed she would. Now, the documentary also had other takeaways that were equally powerful, just not as, in my opinion, directly something that directly affects us the way that one mentioned earlier does. You know, and one of those was the fact that people with cobalt joints installed show signs of degenerative mental conditions, and that often is mistaken for various forms of dementia. Issues and ailments that clear up immediately upon having the joints removed. And the fact that doctors are not experts and are being sold a lot of these products by pharmaceutical companies is something else that has to be talked about and recognized. Now, this is important because we oftentimes act like doctors know more about our bodies than we do and how we feel. Their expertise supersedes how we feel and what we think about our own bodies. And I've seen people, especially older Black people, tell a doctor that something hurts only to have that doctor dismiss it and start talking about something else, and watch that person just assume that the doctor is right and what they are feeling must be wrong. And when you combine this with the discussion I mentioned earlier about the Latino woman, you have a recipe for disaster, especially when you consider how many of us wind up with degenerative mental conditions. And the third thing that this documentary brings to light is the public's failure to understand the FDA and how it works. Now, I've heard a lot of conspiracy theories, and this documentary pushes some of them, and it pushes some others that, you know, might be new to some people. But the overlying central theme of the conspiracy surrounding the FDA is that the FDA is just in general out to fuck people. Some people have taken to calling it the Federal Death Administration. Now, I'm not an FDA apologist, but I can recognize a system that is underfunded and understaffed for the monumental task that they have. My biggest gripe here is that people simply need to do more research and figure out how the system works totally before you begin attacking it and have a solution in mind for how you would fix it. If we are serious about solving problems and overcoming situations, we need to ensure that we understand those situations in their entirety and thoroughly with real verifiable data, not the he say, she say stuff. And again, I'm not an FDA apologist. I do think that they're fucking up, and I do think that they could definitely be a lot more thorough, and they could definitely probably manage the resources that they do have better. I also think that there are a lot of people in the FDA that do need to take their job a little bit more seriously, a lot of bit more seriously. And an example of a panel of FDA approving officers not taking their job seriously is actually shown in the documentary. So, don't get it twisted, but when we're having these conversations about these large systems, these large bureaucracies, these large institutions, we need to make sure that we thoroughly understand what's going on so that we can adequately analyze and diagnose the problems and then create real solutions, real treatment programs that can solve these problems. And that isn't going to happen if we're just jumping off the bridge on a whim or on a conspiracy. And even to that, let me say this, because I do believe in conspiracies, but let me say this. I also acknowledge that 9 times out of 10, what we think is a conspiracy is not a conspiracy. If you're talking about a group of people powerful enough to control a nation of 360 million people, and if they're powerful enough to control the globe the way some of you say they are, if they want to keep a secret, they are going to keep it. You are not going to find out about it. And if you do find out about it, it's because either one, they're not keeping it a secret, which means it's not a conspiracy, or two, they understand that you can't do anything to fix it. You can't do anything about it. Both of which things we should talk about and think about in depth when we start talking about various different things that are going on in the world. And both of those things lead to two very different solutions about how to solve the problems we face, depending on which side you stand on, if you still believe something qualifies as a conspiracy theory. But I do believe in conspiracy theories in general. I just think we should be more thorough in how we analyze. Overall, I give this documentary 3 stars. While I did think it was informative, it was simply too one-sided. I understand that they reached out to pharmaceutical companies who declined to be a part of the film. And I'm sure there are plenty of reps and other people that feel differently from the message being presented here. And I can say I'm sure because I've met them, and I have met more than some of them. I've met a lot of them. And they are doctors. They are medical and pharmaceutical professionals. They are parents. They are regular people. And they have not quackamamie or idiotic ideas, as some people would classify them, simply because they disagree with them. But they have ideas that are solid, that make sense, and that are based on real research that they've done. Now, however you want to interpret the research, or however you want to whatever with what they say, they're not just basing what they feel off of what they feel. They have data behind them that they can present, and they have an opinion based on something real. And so they should be respected for that. The data, going back to the documentary, the data that is presented is very compelling. It's very compelling. But like most of these documentaries, it's also missing context. What's the total number of opportunities for error versus the number of errors? You see, if we find that, say, vaginal meshes only poses a problem for less than 2% of people, then while 65,000 is still a large number, it pales in comparison to, say, 2.1 million, meaning that even if 65,000 women experience some sort of problem because of vaginal meshes, you still have a situation where over 2 million other women are not experiencing any problems or any complications whatsoever, and that they are reaping some sort of benefit. Now, the other component to that is, of course, you talk about underreporting and things of that nature, and that has to be taken into account. But we can't even adequately express those numbers. The underreporting or the inaccurate reporting or the whatever type of reporting you want to talk about, if we don't have the total chances for occurrences. And again, I'm just throwing those numbers out there to make a point. I'm not actually saying that those are the real numbers, but without the numbers for context, the argument that is being made is a leading argument. It's a propaganda type argument. It's an argument that doesn't inform. It's an argument that persuades. And I don't feel like documentaries need to be persuasive in that way. They need to be persuasive in terms of being interesting enough to get people to watch and continue watching. They should not be persuasive in a way that they're trying to get you to their viewpoint and to oppose another view. In that sense, when it comes to viewpoints, I feel like documentaries should be informative. Provide all sides or as many sides as you can within a reasonable period of time using reasonable resources. So while we can all say that one problem is still a problem, if there is one person with an issue, then it's still an issue. Of course, we also have to be realistic about things, and contextual data allows us to assess the true size and scope of a problem. Contextual data was missing. All that being said, again, I really did like the documentary, and I think that it's something worth anyone's time. If you want to watch this documentary, The Bleeding Edge, it's on Netflix. It's not a waste of your time. It's an hour and 45 minutes long. It's not a waste of time. It creates good conversation. Just understand that they're trying to persuade you. They're leading you. Contextual information is missing. And, you know, take it with a grain of salt when you start having these conversations with people. Do your own research to follow up. But I want to thank you guys for listening in. This has been another episode of Lessons from the Screen, and I will see you next time.
Lessons from the Screen, what we mean is we go through different documentaries to tell you what they gon' do. Give you our lessons, give them our blessings. If they trust, we tell you there is no second guessing. Knowledge is power, but time is precious, and we're here to keep you from them lessons. So sit back as we groove, giving you the review, so you only spend time on the docs that you need to.
I want to thank you guys once again for tuning in to Lessons from the Screen. I also want to encourage you guys to head over to the website, www.freedomtrainnetwork.com. You can head over there to the website, gain access to all of the shows on the Freedom Train Network, including this one. You can access to old shows, new shows. You should also check out the Freedom Train app. You can find it in the Google Play Store. If you research Google Play or research Freedom Train Radio or Freedom Train Presents, the Freedom Train Network, you'll find the app there, and you'll see the Choo Choo Train. That is our trademark Choo Choo Train for the Freedom Train. You can get all of the shows right there on your cell phone. Notification whenever we drop anything, or maybe we just want to see the notification saying hi. So you should definitely go and get that app. And you should also take a listen to our live internet radio streams throughout the weekend. We're dropping lectures, we're dropping shows, we're dropping all kinds of interesting things on the weekends. So definitely take advantage of that. I want to thank you guys again for supporting us. And as always, we appreciate you. We'll see you next week. This is the Freedom Train Network Presents Lessons from the Screen.